And now, live from San Francisco and broadcasting live and worldwide on the Double Wide Network, it's Blissful Living with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you overwhelmed, overworked, and overloaded? You are not alone. Reduce your stress and live a more blissful life. Feel your very best. Be the best that you can be for your friends and loved ones. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living. She is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. I'm Rochelle Marie Lawson, the queen of feeling fabulous. And today's show is going to be a really good show. So I'm going to give you the precursor right now and say, grab a piece of paper, something to write with, and kick back in your favorite chair, or turn your radio up if you're driving, and just sit back and relax, because today's guest is Dr. Lisa Lewis, and we're going to be talking about some things that are going to help you. You can take away immediately from the show to help you reduce or eliminate stress in your life. But before we get to the guest, I want to thank today's sponsor of the show, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company. They are located at www.healthhealingwellness.com. And they have some specials for this spring to help you to jumpstart your vitality, help you to detoxify all the toxins out of your body and mind that you may have picked up over the winter months, and to really help you just to get ready for the summer months, the warm weather in the summer with all the activities going on. So check them out at www.healthhealingwellness.com. And then I want to thank the producers behind the scenes for helping me to sound fabulous each week as we come to you, Ed and Wendy. So thank you. Thank you both for doing such a phenomenal job for me so that the listeners can get all the wonderful information that our guest experts have to share with them. So let's start with the show. So Dr. Lisa Lewis, let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a physician, as you know, is in her name. She is a leading board certified licensed naturopath physician, acupuncturist, author, speaker, and healthy living mentor. And Dr. Lisa Lewis has been featured on ABC News, The Daily Cafe Live, on Retirement Living TV, Natural Awakenings Magazine, Michael Basden's Cruise, Awakenings TV show, and the American Health Journal's documentary Discoveries in Alternative Medicine. And what Dr. Lewis is a medical statistic. She's part of the 1% and not the 1% most people think of. She endured a surgical error that statistically happens during only 1% of surgeries, that of all the surgeries that happen every day. And had it not been for her natural medicine expertise and her self-trust, she would not be alive today. Now, she takes what she has learned and to come overcome these significant challenges with her health. And what she does is she teaches stressed out, overworked, successful professionals like us and entrepreneurs who have been hurt, ignored, or mistreated by the healthcare system. She invokes them with self-trusting strategies and natural paths to rapid recovery, which you don't always get when you go to your doctor or any Western medicine physician. And her patients use the same sister Dr. Lewis used to reduce her recovery time from 5 years down to less than 1 year. So with that being set forward, she is here. She's going to share her words of wisdom with us. And she does have a new book out called Stop Stressing Me Out, 7 Strategies to Overcome, Overwhelm, and Conquer Disease Naturally. And we'll tell you more about how you can get that book. So I just want to welcome Dr. Lisa Lewis to Blissful Living. Hey, Dr. Lewis, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm excited. So excited.
What?
ready.
It's fabulous to have you here. And I know the listeners, you know, kind of want to hear about some of the stuff that I shared with your introduction. And, you know, especially like the stop stressing part, because no matter how long I've been doing this show, no matter how much we educate people about ways how they can, you know, naturally reduce stress or eliminate it in their lives, it always seems to be a precursor that is always there. And something that people always seem to deny that they're in. I don't care. Yeah. You can look at someone and you know deep down in your heart and soul that that person is stressed. But if you ask them, they'll say they're doing okay. If you say how you're feeling, they'll say I'm good or they're doing okay. When you know doggone well that they're stressed out. And I don't know what it is about our society and the denials that we have with stress, because as you know, stress is the underlying killer that naturally sits there and waits, and it attacks us from all aspects, and before we know it, we're overwhelmed with some kind of illness and disease that is manifested from the stress that we have in our life. So with regards to that, our topic is Stop Stressing Me Out, Natural Paths to Holistic Rapid Recovery. Now tell us, how does, from a doctor's perspective, especially like a naturopathic doctor, how does stress affect our bodies and health?
So like you said, Rochelle, you know, stress is every day. It's an everyday occurrence. It's natural. Our bodies are really designed to manage it. We have systems, and we'll talk about that, our adrenal glands and our endocrine system, and all this that's designed to treat stress. And to, because, I mean, we don't even think of the things that happen today as stress, like, you know, driving for long periods of time, you know, behind the wheel, you know, noise, hearing noise all the time. You know, even like our cell phones ringing and buzzing every time we get a text message or every time we get a call. You know, those are things that our modern technology has, you know, we could say it's made our lives better, but it doesn't really, our nervous system and our adrenal systems haven't really been designed for that level of stimulation. And so what I find is that people don't really understand stress. So when I do ask them, you know, what's your stress level, a common question would be like, what's your stress level on a scale of 1 to 10, if 1 was no stress at all and 10 was like jumping out of your skin. And they'll always say, oh, maybe 2 or 3, like you said, because they don't really, you know, they don't really connect what stress really is in their life. And so what I find is I have to answer this question, you know, like what stress is and how it affects the body. And then they say, oh, well, I guess I do have a lot of stress. So, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, you know, and I have to say, you know, that number 2 or 3 that you mentioned is probably like 12, right?
Right.
So, I mean, technically, you know, the definitions of stress would be like a state of mental tension or worry, cause or concern, you know, problems that you might have in your life, your work, et cetera, or something that causes strong feelings of worry, anxiety, or even just as something as simple as a physical force or pressure, right? Mm-hmm. But the key is knowing that our bodies can handle it, but not the amount of stress that we're having every day. So it's really going to affect us in ways, in physical ways, in emotional ways. Like we have positive stressors and negative stressors.
Right.
Right. So we don't have to think about stress as something bad. We just have to know that our bodies experience it and then use different ways to kind of manage it. And I think that's the thing that the reason why most people are stressed out is because they're not managing. I mean, of course, we want to minimize our stress as much as we can. But if we can't change our total situations, right, then we want to learn how to manage it more effectively. So now,
Dr. Lewis, you know, with regards to stress, because, you know, I kind of opened up and set the precursor for that where, you know, no matter what you ask people and you know they're stressed and they'll say, oh, like you said, they'll say a 2 or 3 or, no, I'm not really stressed, but, yeah, I have high blood pressure and I've got, you know, this health challenge going on, or I've gained a tremendous amount of weight. My job, you know, is I've just got so much to do at my job, or my kids are acting up, or the, you know, I'm not having a good relationship with my husband. Or it's not until you start physically asking them questions and diving in that all of this stuff that pops up causes, you know, that can cause stress within our minds and their body begins to appear. And then they realize, oh yeah, the light bulb is switched on. Oh yeah, I do have a lot more stress than I realize. Why do you think that people have discounted the stress? Is it in their life? Do you think it's become just such a normal thing for them that they just operate this way and they just don't think about it? Or do you think they really truly are not aware of what's going on in the body, in the mind?
I would think it's a combination of both. Number one, I think that most people don't understand stress. They don't understand the definition of it. They don't understand how it, what happens in the body. Because, they don't know how to connect what's happening on the outside to what's really happening on the inside with them. So they may not have been taught to connect those two, right? Which is why medicine is so much so now, I have a problem, let me take something to get rid of it, as opposed to really understanding why it's happening, treating the cause, right? As we talk about, right, in natural medicine, right? So, so one of the things, one of the things is that, most people just don't understand that these common things that are happening to them all day long are stress. So I don't really think that they're intentionally trying to tell me that they don't have stress. I think, again, like we said, once we let them know that this thing that's happening, you're working all day long, not taking lunch, eating foods that are that don't digest well in your system, that's stress on your internal body, right? Toxins, taking in toxins, stress on the body, not getting enough sleep, stress on the body, even exercise, right? Stress on the body. But our bodies are designed to manage that. It's designed to manage stress. I mean, we're so divinely created, right? That our bodies have been designed to manage it, but not at the level that everyone is experiencing today. I describe it, quite a few people that may hear me explain this concept will be running from the tiger, like this prehistoric vision of us. Right, running, trying to survive, right? Running
trying to
from
get
the
away
tiger.
From that saber-toothed tiger, right? Because it's coming on us.
Exactly, right? And we are hauling, trying to get rid of it. We want to get away as far as we want to live. We want to survive, right? So our systems have been designed to, that fight or flight, right?
Right.
We've been designed to live based on running from the tiger here and there. We run from the tiger, we find some cover, we get in the cave, close ourselves off, the tiger gets tired, goes away, right? We're like, we can breathe, we can relax now. But, right now, today, the way everyone is living, we're running from the tiger all day, every day. And the body is not designed to do that. And that's one of the simplest ways to help people recognize, that running from the tiger is happening all day long for most of us. Even most people have nightmares and difficulty sleeping or not sleeping. They're running from the tiger even at night.
You mentioned something interesting. You mentioned about the technology that we have. And, I say all the time that the technology that we have is phenomenal, but it's also very detrimental to our physical and mental well-being because people just don't know or they just can't seem to turn off from the technology, which, again, is, I say, it's a new stress because in the 1980s and early 90s, we didn't have this environmental kind of stress, this environmental toxins from all this technology that we're using. And I see people on a daily basis, they cannot sit for longer than 30 seconds, I'm going to say 15 seconds, waiting for something or at a doctor's appointment or whatever kind of appointment, or just sitting waiting in the bank line. No, they can't. Nowadays, people cannot sit without pulling out their phone because they've got to be doing something. And it's crazy because I'm like, if you're not conducting a super big business deal where you're making multi-millions of dollars, put the darn phone away or turn off the iPad or put the, you know, close up the laptop. But people seem to can't seem to disconnect from the technology. And in essence, that's causing us to feel like we're in that state of always running from the saber-toothed tiger, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and it's even creating so many other challenges, like just like you hear that sound, the ding, you know, that every time an email comes in or every time, you know, somebody posts something on Facebook, right? that small noise ignites your nervous system, which then sends a response for you to, you know, an alert type of response to you. Just those small things. You know, driving to work today, I can't tell you how many people have their phones in their hands while they're driving. So technology is lovely, but it has created a monster, right? Because most people have a ton of monsters because, you know, now people feel like they just can't disconnect on any way, shape, or form. And I love disconnecting. I will leave the country and be happy just to put my phone in a drawer and tell everybody, listen, it's not going to turn. I don't have international service, and it's not going. You can't reach me for a week. That's it, you know. And that's really one of the strategies is we talk about ways that we can begin to unplug and reduce the stress. You know, you have to recognize that you're in a stress mode.
And well, what's really funny, because you mentioned something else with regards to, you know, people, you see them, like in California, we're supposed to be hands-free. So,
New Jersey, $100 ticket. That's bottom line.
But hello, driving down the freeway, I rarely see hands-free people. Even myself, I'm a little guilty of it too, you know, being hands-free. We're so compelled to answer that call.
Yeah.
No, or you know, to answer that call or that text or whatever it may be. And I just think back in the 80s and 90s where we didn't have this, and you don't have to compare. No. It's like you can't get away from your job because they're sending you texts and emails, and you know, they're invading on your private time even when you're off the clock. You can't get away from your family. You can't get away from anything, because even though you may be away from them, they have this access to you, and you feel so compelled that you have to answer all of these things, which causes an internal stress. And I hear a lot about adrenal fatigue today, because, you know, of course our bodies are made to handle stress when we need it to be handled, you know, like the fight or flight, which you talked about, of course, and running from that saber-toothed tiger. We need those adrenaline and corticosteroids to kick in so we can haul tail to get in that cave to get away from that saber-toothed tiger. The problem is we're operating in that saber, like you said, that saber-toothed tiger running mode all day long, every day. And what's been happening is I've been hearing a lot about adrenal fatigue. Can you just share with the listeners what is adrenal fatigue and what causes it?
Yeah, so there are several different stages of the stress response, and adrenal fatigue is actually the last stage, I guess, prior to official adrenal disease. So you know, our bodies produce cortisol, right? DHEA, epinephrine, norepinephrine, these are the things that are produced by our adrenal glands to help us to manage stress, you know, to help us to run from the tiger, to help increase your blood pressure, you know, your blood flow to your muscles so that they, you know, that they have enough, you know, blood to run, right? Increase your blood sugar, right, so that your body can you know, have enough energy, because sugar is our energy source, to have enough energy to run from the tiger, right? We need to shut down our GI tract, because we're not gonna stop and have dinner while we're running from the tiger, right? Or pick a berry and eat, right? and and it actually even shuts off our female hormones and our male hormones, because we definitely don't want to do anything like that, looking for the tiger, right? Well, we're running from the tiger, right? So,
right.
So all these parts of our body, all these systems of our body, our sex hormones, our hormonal system itself, our blood sugar regulation, our blood pressure regulation, a lot of these things, our digestive tract, our immune system, all these things are dampened down. So during what we call the end stage of adrenal fatigue, which is where your cortisol level, your body's producing very little cortisol and not really enough, or even the other neurotransmitters like epinephrine and norepinephrine, not enough really to help you function on a daily basis. And then you end up with symptoms of, you know, exhaustion, fatigue. I mean, we could probably weight gain, your memory, you know, cognitive decline, your memory, brain fog, or definitely lack of memory, nervousness and irritability, lightheadedness, headaches. Stomach problems, backaches, PMS, constipation, diarrhea. I mean, we could go on and on. Allergies,
right.
Skin challenges, sleep, you know, insomnia, sleep problems. I mean, we could mention weight gain. Oh, God, I can't forget that one, right? And so, but most people really show up as fatigue. They really feel like exhausted, like they don't have enough energy just to, you know, for daily activities. And so usually a person will say, I'm just exhausted, I'm tired. You'll hear them say, I'm tired all day long. And it's such a common phrase for them. They say it so often that they don't even recognize that they're saying it. And if they're not saying it, they're definitely feeling it.
Right.
And so that's that end, it's really the end stage where most people start to feel a lot of those symptoms, because the body really shifts and adjusts, to help us to produce the cortisol. And it's going to produce it until the body just doesn't have enough wherewithal to continue, and that's when that cortisol level will decline. So and that's really what we consider adrenal fatigue.
So why is this bad for us? I mean, you know, with the regards to adrenal fatigue,
yeah.
And basically we're tiring out our adrenal glands. Can you just share with the listeners a little bit about where the adrenals are and
yeah.
really what they do? Why is it bad that we're fatiguing them?
Yeah. So as we talk about that fight or flight mechanism, the adrenal glands are two glands, one on each, on top of each kidney in your back, okay? So they're just placed right, a little triangular type gland that sits directly on top of your kidney. And they're there to produce, you know, what we just mentioned, cortisol, DHEA, epinephrine and norepinephrine, or most people would consider epinephrine as the word adrenaline or noradrenaline, okay? And so our bodies, again, they're divinely designed. So, you know, I guess they knew tigers were here and we needed to run from them. So our bodies were, these glands are designed to help us handle stressful situations. They're really our stress glands. I mean, they also produce a little bit of our estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone as well, especially after you're in menopause or the men in andropause. The body will produce more of your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone from your adrenal glands in that later stage in life than your ovaries or your testicles. So, we can talk about that later, because that's menopausal stuff that really
right.
a lot of women need to hear about and understand how their adrenal glands are affect menopause. But so when these adrenal glands are ignited during stress, everything goes up. The cortisol level goes up, DHEA, epinephrine, norepinephrine, all that goes up. It elevates. so that it can tell our bodies to run, do whatever it needs to do, get extra strength, do whatever we need to do to get from that stressful situation. Generally, that's an early stage or what we call acute stress, right? That stage usually only happens for a few minutes, and then everything goes back to normal. Then we have other stages where the body just is in that fight or flight mechanism so often where it can't go back into normal, or the cortisol ends up staying elevated at certain times of the day and then lower or normal at other times of the day. And those are kind of more mid stages. So I treat a lot of patients where their cortisol might be low during the day because they're just exhausted during the day, but then I call them wired but tired. At night, they can't sleep, but they're exhausted, right? They're like, I don't get it. All day long, I can barely keep my eyes open, and then at night, I lay down and I can't fall asleep. Because that when we test them, I see that their cortisol is elevated at night. So they end up with low cortisol sometimes during the day and then high at night. That's like a mid-stage type of adrenal fatigue. And then the stage we talked about a few minutes ago where that end-stage adrenal fatigue when everything is low. The cortisol is just low all day long. DHEA, low. Right. Epinephrine, norepinephrine, low. So it's really good to understand like what happens to our body in the stress. Everything goes up during a stressful situation. Then it comes down. If we come out of that stressful situation back to normal, our bodies do what they need to do as far as all the rest of the functions of all the systems in our body. But if we stay in acute stress mode, then our adrenal glands will really peter out and not be able to continue producing the level of cortisol and DHEA and all the neurotransmitters that it needs. And that's when we start really feeling the effects of stress.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because a lot of times, you know, people don't understand the correlation between, you know, the different operations, or I want to say departments within our body. Our body is a phenomenal corporation. And, you know what I mean? It's phenomenal. We have so many different departments that handle so many different microscopic things that it just happens, we are not aware of it. And a lot of times people hear about, like, you know, these things such as adrenal fatigue becoming a big buzzword, but they don't really understand what it is or actually where the adrenals are or what they do. And it basically is, you know, that we're operating in such a heavy stress mode 24/7 that we actually are burning out the chemicals in our adrenals that help us to actually handle stress when we need it, when we need to run and when we need to fight or flight, to a point where we've exhausted them and we don't have it. And then, we get the adrenal fatigue and other things start manifesting in our lives as far as illness and disease. So thank you for sharing that. Now,
you're welcome.
And thank you for sharing some of the signs and symptoms, because I really don't think, people, you know, they just haven't made the connection as to how important it is to really try to keep your stress levels in check all the time, because it really is really, really detrimental to our health. Even though you may not be experiencing adrenal fatigue like we're just talking about, you know, eventually something's going to give. And it may not be your adrenal glands, but it might be your heart. It might be your blood pressure. You might stroke out. Your diabetes might become completely out of control and you have no reason. You have no understanding why, because you're thinking you're doing everything correct. You know, your digestive system may just be like, oh, the heck with this. I'm just checking out. Right. And you start having problems in that area. So it's just a lot of things. Like I said, we have this phenomenal corporation, our body. And no matter what we do, when one thing is out of whack or out of balance, it affects all the other areas. It's just whatever is the weakest area at that time is the one that's going to have the problem with the illness or disease. So thank you. Thank you for sharing, you know, signs and symptoms of that as well. Now, is treatment, say I just have a high stress level. I'm just a person. I come into you and I know I have a high stress level. I know I'm stressed out to the max, but I don't have any signs and symptoms of adrenal fatigue, and you know, that I can recognize at this point in time. Yeah. Is treatment for elevated stress and adrenal fatigue different?
Yeah. So this is the interesting, interesting thing. This is why I don't necessarily advocate for people kind of just treating themselves without understanding what's really happening, Because if you think about the different stages, like if you think about elevated stress or the elevated levels, right, that early stage, what we call the alarm stage,
right.
The cortisol is high. And just so you know, cortisol is the strongest anti-inflammatory known to man. So if cortisol is out of balance, either too high or too low, it's going to create an elevated inflammatory response in the body. Or to say it easily, if you don't have enough cortisol, you run the risk of having inflammation build up in your body in different organ states, right? And so in different parts, and that's when we get heart disease, that's when we get diabetes because it's inflammation of the pancreas, and that's, you know, different parts of the body where you're going to see inflammation in your digestive tract, you know, those kinds of things. So if you have, it's important to know where you are in that spectrum because, say, for instance, if your cortisol is exceptionally elevated, then you're going to need something to bring that cortisol down. If your cortisol is low, you're going to need something to bring it up, and those aren't always the same thing. Now, there's the way we would treat herbally, which is amazing, is that there are herbs called adaptogens. And adaptogenic herbs are the word adaptogen is just how it sounds. Adapt. So what it does is if you're needing to reduce something, the herb will reduce it. It'll know, right? And if you need to increase something, the herb will then increase it, right? So so there are some herbs and things that you can take specifically for building up and reducing. And these are adaptogenic herbs like ashwagandha, astragalus, maca. I'm going to say the Chinese word because I also know Chinese medicine. The Chinese medicine, heshiwu. I mean, just everything. The goji berries. Reishi mushrooms, rhodiola, sarsaparilla, schizandra. I mean, there's just a ton of amazing, amazing herbs that are designed specifically to, you know, that are adaptogenic, that are designed specifically to either shift your cortisol down or increase it. But there's also so many minerals and nutrients that you need, because just imagine if you're burning your cortisol and your adrenals out, right? Our bodies, like we said, are beautiful machines, right? They need minerals and nutrients and all these different things to be fed, right? So that those minute biochemical reactions can happen. So if we're just pushing ourselves, we're going to need more of those minerals and nutrients and herbs to keep the body going. And, i.e., if you're in depleted mode, you're going to need more to bring it up because you need excess of everything because
right.
your body's so depleted. So the beautiful thing about it is knowing what stage you're in, so then we can choose, are we reducing it? And, you know, we tend to, you know, use phosphatidylserine, which is a way to help really bring down your cortisol. We have to know whether you have high blood pressure or not, because that would determine whether or not we'd be using licorice root as one of the ways that we would help balance out your adrenals.
I love how you're talking about all these herbs and stuff, because, you know, that is my forte as well. And you listeners out there, she's mentioning some stuff that probably sounds foreign to you with regards to licorice root and ashwagandha and, you know, maca and all these different herbs. And we're going to get into, you know, a little bit of that a little later, so you can understand the concept of really what like Ayurvedic medicine or natural holistic medicine is, and how it can help you and benefit you tremendously. But, you know, Dr. Lewis is mentioning that you really need to know where you are with regards to your stress levels. And a lot of people, again, as we started the show off, are in complete denial that they have any stress to begin with. So how would anyone go about finding out what their stress levels are? Can you share with the listeners, Dr. Lewis, as to how they can test or how they can get tested or get the quantified level of where their stress may be within their of course, their body, but also in their mind? Is there something that you do? Is there some way that the listeners out there listening that maybe this might be piquing curiosity for them? Like, oh, you know, well, let me check it out. You know, share with the listeners how they can find that out.
So thanks for asking that, because there's multiple different ways to learn and understand what your stress, I mean, other than eventually really truly getting connected with your symptoms, you know, eventually you'll know how you feel and you'll get an idea and you'll know where to begin at least. But because we talked about so much, you know, earlier that most people have no idea that stress is even causing a problem for them.
Right.
Testing is like the light bulb. It's like, ding! As soon as they see it.
It's like that bell you hear on your cell phone when you get a text message.
Exactly. Exactly. The light bulb just goes off, and they're like, oh my God, you know, wow. But it's like shocking to them to see it on paper, but it's also relieving, because for so many years people have been feeling horrible, right? And then they go to their doctor, and their doctor says, "Oh, go home and rest, or take off. You're stressed out, you know." And they're like, "Well, if I could rest, I wouldn't be." Or they would say, you know, like, you know, you just need to you know, you need to not stress out so much, and people are like, what does that mean? Like, and so
yeah, what do I do? And they're like, oh, back in the day, here, let me give you a prescription for some Valium, you know, which is a whole other problem, right?
Oh yes. That's a whole other show. All in itself, right? So, but the interesting thing is that when they see it, you can almost see them just like. You can actually see the stress start to leave them, because they're like, I'm not crazy. There is something wrong with me. I knew there was something out of balance, and nobody was giving me any answers, which is a whole nother level of stress in itself, to not feel well and then not have any answers. And so testing is exceptionally important, and it's so simple. Now, some people might try to go and get a blood test, because their doctor might say, "Well, I can test your cortisol," and they'll do a blood test. But the blood test is not the most, it's not the gold standard, and it's not the most practical, because this is the deal. There's a circadian rhythm with the cortisol. It should be elevated in the morning to wake us up and get us going, right? And then throughout the day, it slowly reduces until it gets down to a minimal number, which then tells us it's time to go to bed, right? So it's like daytime versus nighttime. It's like sunshine versus darkness. It's just so divine. I can't even tell you how amazing it is. Every time I think about it, I just, like, you know, it makes me choke up, because this is really, it's in so much in alignment with the way that we're supposed to be. Right, the way we're supposed to live in the world, and so many of us are living in opposite ways. We're living in opposite schedules. We're staying up too late at night. You know, all these things. So, but it's supposed to be elevated in the morning, and it's supposed to be low at night. So, if you take a blood test and it's in the middle of the afternoon and it gives you a number, you don't know whether or not you're elevated in the morning, or whether it's too high in the morning or too low in the morning. You're getting it at one time during the day.
Right.
And it's not practical to take your blood four times throughout the day to test it. So the most amazing thing that I know to be true about cortisol testing is that saliva testing is, number one, it's the gold standard, and it's the most practical. So So basically, mm-hmm. all we have people do is spit in a tube, which ain't sexy, but it works, right?
Gotta and do what works, right? Whatever
that's
works,
right? That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's right. And you're collecting, you know, you're collecting the saliva four times throughout the day. We're collecting it early in the morning when you wake up. Then we're collecting it again sometime around 11 or 12 a.m. Then we're collecting again sometime around, say, 4, 5, or 6 p.m. And then at night again at 10 p.m., around 10 p.m., when we should be going to sleep. So that should tell us what your cortisol levels are throughout the entire day. And then from there, we'll know what level, you know, what your levels are and be able to test to treat them effectively. Because we can treat, say for instance, your cortisol is high at night and high in the afternoon, but low in the morning and low in the early evening. We can then help use the supplements and use herbs to help manipulate those levels to make them move into normal, you know, into normal range or optimal range, and then that can help you to balance out. So it's a beautiful way of testing. It's very, very simple. It's really inexpensive. I would say doing DHEA, they really test one. They use one saliva sample to test your DHEA, which is another parameter of your adrenal gland, another hormone that is secreted. But they'll test it four times a day, plus your DHEA for probably like $110, $120, maybe $140. And it's the best $100 that people will ever spend in their life.
So basically, there is a quantifiable test that you can take.
Yes.
It involves your saliva, but that's not a big deal. It's not like getting blood drawn and all of that.
Right.
And based on that information, you know, someone like you can determine exactly where someone is with regards to their stress levels and where, yes, you know, their dips and things may be with regards to their corticosteroids within their body and in their system. Now, once someone does that, you know, then they have an indication of exactly where they may be, and then they can go forward. Now, a lot of people, you know, when they're stressed, they tend to gain a lot of weight. And I have a lot of people that, you know, come to me because, not because they're stressed or even they think they're stressed, but because they picked up a lot of weight in the midsection or, you know, just feeling sluggish or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you go and you look and examine what they're eating, they don't quantify with what they're eating as to what, the weight gain and how it's connected to stress. How important is nutrition, or really just eating a really good diet? How important is that for treating stress and maintaining or preventing any illness and disease that could be from the stress that a person is experiencing?
Yeah, so food is medicine. That's the bottom line, right? If we're eating food for any other reason than that, then we got it wrong, okay? So to know that, anytime you eat anything, we got to look at it as, is this feeding me or is this poisoning me? Right? I mean, you know, so eating like,
chocolate donuts is not going to help you.
Exactly.
They may
exactly.
be good and they may taste good, but they're not going to help with your stress, and they darn sure ain't going to help with your health and well-being and your weight, right?
Exactly. And it's interesting because when the oxymoron here is that when you get stressed out, you tend to grab for those foods that will completely put you deeper into stress mode, like sugar, like wheat, like dairy, like crunchy things, you know, like potato chips, salty things, that kind of stuff. So really you have to look at eating a well-balanced diet. And I know that that's like this catchphrase for that most people don't get, but because they're like, you have to eat close to the earth. You have to eat whole foods. You have to eat fresh. You have to eat in season. And you need to eat, if you can, like you guys in California, that's fabulous because you get a lot of locally grown, especially organic food. So, you know, you need to eat food that's not grown in depleted soil and all that kind of stuff, because it's not going to have the nutrient and the mineral content that you need. And that's really what you need the food for. You need it for the vitamins and minerals and need it and the enzymes and the trace elements. You don't need it for the taste. Now, if we didn't like it, then we would starve to death. So we definitely have these amazing taste buds to draw us to it, and our eyes to draw us to the color, so that we will eat it and we will feed our bodies. So when you're stressed out, you need more micro minerals and nutrients than you would normally need otherwise. So that standard, you know, that recommended daily allowance that they always talk about is completely inadequate when it comes to stress, illness, these kinds of things. When you're taking medications, a lot of times they deplete your minerals and nutrients. So you need more minerals and nutrients and supplementation and things of that nature. So food has to be your first medicine when it comes to treating stress, and supplements and different, you know, high nutrient dense foods, fruits, vegetables. I mean, we're going to be singing the same tune that we sing for most other, you know, for everything else, right? Because that is how you treat it. But you have to use nutrition as one of your primary sources of treatment, because you don't want to take supplements all day, you know, all the time, and you don't want to have to take medication for it. So,
great precursor, because the next thing I wanted to ask you is, you hear these people, you know, saying, well, just take, you know, the supplements are abundant all over the place. You've got, you know, multi-level marketing companies that have all these wonderful products that they, you know, market and tout that's good for stress. You go in the health food store and they have all these wonderful things, supplements that are good for stress, or just good for health and well-being. You know, in addition to just really having good nutrition and taking in the best food that you could possibly afford and you know, take in. Is dietary supplementation essential to treating and managing stress? Can it be helpful? You know, should people be looking at supplement, you know, getting some supplements for, addition to taking in good, healthy, nutrition? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, 100%. See, and this is, you know, the diet, the supplement industry is not really as regulated as the other industries. So you have to be very, very, very careful about the quality of the supplement you're taking. You have to know the active ingredients versus the inactive ingredients. You have to know what things react with one another. That's really what we learn in naturopathic medical school. I mean, we're like the supplement, the drug, herb, drug interaction specialist. Like, we know what reacts with everything. And supplementation is necessary 100%, especially if you're in that depleted state. You can't eat enough food to get the amount of pantothenic acid or B5 that you need to bring those cortisol levels up, to produce pregnenolone. Pregnenolone is the precursor for all your hormones. So it starts with cholesterol, then it goes to pregnenolone, and then from pregnenolone, it goes, do we need more cortisol? Do we need more DHEA? Do we need estrogen? Do we need testosterone? Do we need progesterone? So the body actually produces the pregnenolone, but we need pantothenic acid to build that up, and that's B5. And, you know, it's in salmon, it's in certain meats, like, you know, red meats and things of that nature. I don't know how many of you guys are vegetarian, but sometimes you get in a little bit of liver, which is why a lot of times when people are fatigued, you know, you want to eat organic, of course, but, you know, vegetables, things of that nature. So one of the key things is knowing the quality of the supplement you're taking, know the manufacturer, but supplementation is 100% necessary. Now, once you get to a level where you're managed, you know, where you're normal and you think your stress level will be normal, then you can probably do it with food. Then you can probably just do it with lifestyle, right? But if you're in a state where your body really is depleted, and you want to feel better faster, supplementation is really necessary. It's really necessary. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, just because somebody is promoting a supplement, if you don't really know anything about that supplement or that company or really know what's in that supplement, you may not be taking what you think you're getting.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, and I know there's been a lot of shows about that, you know, lately.
Yep. You got it. That's the case more often than not. There are more bad supplements out there than there are good. And that's the problem. People take things, they don't feel better, and then they wonder why, and then they blame it on the supplement. But it's being blamed on the quality of it.
And they really didn't do due diligence with, well, because, you know, it's the whole marketing thing, the whole advertisement thing where, you know, take this, you'll feel better or whatever. And it's, again, back in that Western medicine mode where, there, you know, you come to the doctor, you get a prescription for something, but it's not necessarily going to get to the root cause to take away the signs and symptoms of what's presenting. You know what I'm saying? So, again, it's a whole other show we can do. But now, this is a big one because I know a lot of people have problems with sleep and they don't necessarily equate sleeping or their lack of sleep to contributing to or increasing their stress or opening up that gateway for illness and disease to come into their life. So how does a lack of sleep contribute to all of this? How does it make it even more complicated when you're operating in a stressful state?
So just so you know, I think sleep deprivation is like one of the most underdiagnosed diseases or problems in our modern society. It's crazy. Most people, if they would just get a little bit more sleep and good quality sleep, like deep sleep, it would solve the majority of their problems. But the problem is, how do you sleep effectively, right? When your cortisol is high and your stress is high. So irritability, you know, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, depression, I mean, substance abuse, all these things are associated with sleep deprivation. And so one of the really important things is your body heals when it's asleep. It fixes some stuff, right? It regenerates.
Right.
You know, we need it. This is why babies sleep so, because they're growing, right? They sleep so much, they're growing and they're developing, and children need their sleep, you know. But adults, we need our sleep too, because our bodies repair ourselves. So the immune system will be weak if we don't get enough sleep. And so one of the biggest issues is that I tend to fix people's sleep really fast. Because when I see that cortisol is elevated, I can give them something from a supplement perspective that will help them sleep better, which will then help them function better during the rest of the day, will help them heal, you know, will help their bodies regenerate and all the tissue and all of the repair that needs to happen. All that will start to happen, and they'll start feeling better almost immediately. There's so many amazing things. I mean, essential oils that help calm you, teas that, you know, help calm you, herbs, you know, passion flower and oats or Avena sativa, Melissa or lemon balm, chamomile. All of those are things that you can, you know, ingest either, you know, via capsule or herb or tea, at night to help you sleep. And, or maybe you can take I keep a essential oil by my bed, because if I wake up at 1 a.m, I'm going to sniff that and I'm back to sleep in 30 seconds. Right?
What's your favorite essential oil for this?
Gosh, I mean, it's actually a blend, because if I had to choose one off the top, it would be lavender, of course.
Yes.
But there's a like marjoram and spruce and geranium. Those are really good. Frankincense. Those are really good for helping to reduce stress and help you relax a lot. Yeah.
You've given a wealth of information and there's so much. You know, we talked a little bit about herbs You know, now we've mentioned some essential oils. We talked about nutrition. We talked about, you know, what adrenal fatigue is. We talked about, you know, dietary supplements and how you should be aware of what you're taking and really read the back of the bottle and really, you know a little bit about the company that you're thinking about purchasing that is putting out the supplement. before you actually purchase it. Do a little bit of research, spend a little time on that. That's going to be more helpful to you than detrimental to you. You know, we talked about the different types of stress levels, elevated stress versus adrenal fatigue, how you can, you know, test and how you can find out exactly what your stress level is and all of that good stuff. But just in 30 seconds, can you share, because the herbs are just so fascinating to me as me being, you know, someone that does that as well. Can you share a couple of, I know we mentioned ashwagandha and some maca and some other herbs, but can you share a couple of ways as to in like 30 seconds, because I want to get to how they can get your book and stuff and get in contact with you. Can you share just a little bit as to if someone goes and gets, say, ashwagandha or, you know, some of the herbs that you mentioned, how can they use those to, you know, because it's just an herb, how can they use those in their nutrition routine to help them, you know, and help their body handle stress just a little bit better?
So one of the simplest ways, most people like to take capsules, but a lot of people don't swallow capsules well. What I do is I make a green drink in the morning, which is either a meal replacement or breakfast, or part of my breakfast. And a lot of times I use the powdered, like the powder astragalus, the powder Siberian ginseng, or the powder ashwagandha, those kinds of things. And I'll put like either a teaspoon or a half a teaspoon of that powder in my protein drink, along with the healthy protein powder, my vegetables and my fruit, and I'll consume it just like that. And that's a really simple way of doing it. Most of them have a very minimal taste. It doesn't really change the taste of your drink. And then you can get it right straight from the powder. That's probably the most efficient way to do it, other than taking a tincture, which is the herb that's actually dissolved in alcohol. Putting the powder right, making a nice drink, a tea or something like that, putting it in your green drink or just making a tea and drinking it as a morning tea, and sometimes as an evening tea, depending on what you need, where you need boosting. Like afternoon, sometimes you might have you need to boost at 3 o'clock or something like that. Those kinds of things. Those are the best, easiest ways to do it.
Thank you. So again, you know, if you're taking notes, you make sure you get your herbs from a bona fide herbal source. Of the things like companies I can recommend is Mountain Rose or Banyan. Banyan herbs. You can go online and Google and find out about them. But you can make a tea, she said. You can get capsules if that's okay and you're okay with swallowing capsules. You can get the herbs in a capsule form. You can get it in powder form and put it in your green drinks or your smoothies or whatever. And it is going to help your body tremendously. And it's not going to be like you're taking a Valium or Vicodin, and you're not going to feel that immediate relief like that, so to speak, because that's false. But it's going to help you over time. You'll start feeling a lot better and your body will be able to handle the stresses that comes into it. And that is dealt with on a much better level. Okay. So we're getting close to the end of the show, and I can talk forever. But Dr. Lisa Lewis is going to share with us how you can get in contact with her and how you can get her new book that I mentioned, because I think we all should pick it up and really, you know, really use some of the strategies to overcome overwhelm and conquer disease naturally. So Dr. Lewis, tell the listeners out there how they can get in contact with you and how they can get a copy of that book.
Sure. I have two things for them. I have a free gift, which will give them most of what we talked about today in case study form. I have a case study ebook of Stop Stressing Me Out case studies that really give them a window into how I treat patients, and it is absolutely fabulous. So if they can. They can go to www.stopstressingme.com, and that's www.stopstressingme.com, and then they can just enter their name and email in that, and they get the free gift directly from there. And they can always reach me as well at my website, which is drlisalewis.com, and that's D-R-L-I-S-A. lewis.com, and also you can purchase the book It's $14.95 from the drlisalewis.com. But I always like for people to test it so they could always see what the case study ebook is all about, and then from there they can do strategy sessions with me and things of that nature, because I really like to help people understand what they're getting into with natural medicine and not just jump in.
Right. And understanding the concepts of that is really, really important. Well, thank you, Dr. Lisa Lewis, for being on Blissful Living. It was a pleasure. I mean, we didn't even get into how you use, the strategies that you share with your patients to cut your recovery time down from 5 years to 1 year. I guess I'm going to have to just bring you back on the show, and we're going to do a part two of this and just dive in a little bit deeper. This is the intro section, and part two will be, the more advanced section. But thank you so much for being on Blissful Living, and thank all of you listeners out there for tuning in. I know she gave you some phenomenal information that's going to help you to live a less stressed life and a more healthier life as you travel down your path to bliss. I'm Rochelle Marie Lawson, the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, wishing you a wonderful week. Have a phenomenal weekend, and remember, don't let the small stuff stress you out. It really is not that important. Turn off that cell phone and just see if you can do it for 5 minutes and then 5 minutes to 10 minutes. But check it out and see how you feel. I guarantee you won't miss a thing, and you will be doing your mind and body good. Take care for now, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson for Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle and to find out more about blissful living and reducing stress in your life, just click on Blissful Living right here on the Double Wide Network. Please catch all of our Blissful Living shows on demand 24/7 on doublewidenetwork.com. Until next week, may your life be stress-free, happy, and blissful.